Well, good afternoon to everyone. And as you know, Thursday night we will be here for Passover. Passover is here. And hopefully we've done everything we can to prepare for it. And one of the things today has to do with what I'm going to be speaking about today, where you have in 1 Corinthians 11:31, For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Because one of the things that we're required to do is to examine ourselves, to be honest, to look within ourselves, and also to be honest with God as we look within ourselves to see, are we still in the faith? Are we still obeying God in the ways that we should? But we come to something that you don't realize right away, because when it comes to the law, I have been in, for over 30 years now, been involved in municipal administration. And what do you find there? We have laws that govern the behavior of the community. There's two ways to apply the law. There's the letter of the law, and there's the spirit of the law. And as time went on in my career, I found myself applying both. But it also applies to God's law. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, and I'm using the New Living Translation, it says, "But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now," and it says, "now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit." And as I go through this, I've got examples on this, and we'll explain it as we go. Now, I have defined what the letter of the law is and what the spirit of the law is. The letter of the law is the strict and exact force of the language used in the law, whereas the spirit of the law goes beyond the written law or letter of the law and seeks to capture the purpose or intent of a law when it was written. Now, I can give you an example since I've dealt mainly with Florida statute. You can come across a statute and it says, "You shall not do." Okay, that's the letter of the law. But behind the statute is a book or writing that's called the Florida Administrative Code. What is this FAC? It's the guidelines for applying that particular law, where if you read the letter of the law, it's pretty harsh. But then when you go to the Florida Administrative Code and it tells you how to apply this law and the way and in the purpose of it, it's entirely different. And of course, this is where attorneys make their living. They understand the intent, the purpose of the law, and that's how they make their living and that's how they build their cases. Well, it's also the same with God's law. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 4, here is an example of the letter of the law. It says, "Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the laws of God." Now, the reason I use this as a letter of law, because I know people, and I've talked to people, they're not exactly religious people or attend church regularly, but they know about the commandments. "Oh, yes, 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 and you know, shall not steal, shall not commit adultery, shall not covet," and things like that. They do know it, but they don't live by it. And to them, that is sin, because they are breaking the commandments of God. That's the harshness of the law. To them, they have broken the law. And it says, if you break one, you break them all. Now, for those that have dedicated themselves to God, in James 4, verse 17,
What does it say? It says, remember. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Now that's a spiritual application, and let's look at ourselves. We understand the law, do we not? We understand the letter of the law, and we also understand the spirit of the law, its intent. Now, I'm guilty of this, and I will use an example. One of the commandments is, you shall not murder. I have committed murder in my thoughts. Okay? I know better than that. So therefore, it is sin to me. Because I have murdered in my thoughts. And fortunately, I've gotten past that and have asked forgiveness for that. But there were a couple individuals in my life. It was, one of them was my father, who was very abusive. He was an alcoholic, liked to beat my mother, and finally when I became a man, I stepped in. And it got very violent between my father, to where I actually considered murdering him, and I did murder him in my thoughts. I was in the church at that time. So James 4:17 is talking directly to me. It says, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. The murderous thought was the sin. That's what had to be repented of. So I'm trying to kind of get you to see the difference between letter of the law, spirit of the law. Because if you go to the letter of the law, you shall not murder, well, there's a penalty for murder. It's either death or life imprisonment. It's that harsh. The spiritual intent is far different. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It states, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. This is something that we should be doing. There's still time. Passover is not until Thursday evening. So between now and then, you still have time to take a close look at yourself honestly before God. And this is something that you really need to do. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And then as we go to Romans 8:23, it takes it a little further. It says, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised. As Paul mentioned, that if you don't believe in the resurrection, then your religion is vain. Okay? As it talks about these things, we understand that if we're in that resurrection with Christ, there are certain inheritance that go with that. As it says that when he appears, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. The covenant, that there are certain things that we understand if you obey God and follow these things, when that time comes and you're in that first resurrection, you have certain rights. And rights is it's a legal term. And it's defined as rights existing as a result of contract or rights created or recognized by law or covenant. Now, we do understand the promises of God, do we not? But we don't see them yet. But we do know it will happen. It will happen on that day. Most of us probably won't be alive. Some of us may be. But it won't happen until that time. And as I mentioned in Romans 7:6, where it says, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Now I want to use an example of a parable. And it's the parable of the rich man. And it starts in Mark 10, verse 17. It says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, you have to take a look at this gentleman here. He's a wealthy man. He's more than likely a ruler or a noble. Now, it's beneath them to kneel before someone that is below their status. What's interesting about this man, he obviously knew of Christ. He obviously believed that he was who he was. Otherwise, he would have never knelt before him. It's just beneath him to do that. And he was asking a very good question. He said, you know, of course, Christ said to him, why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. Now, I don't know the exact intent why he said it to him in this way, but there is a reason for it. Because this rich man obviously knew who Christ was and accepted the fact that he was probably the Messiah. He was the answer. He was looking for that answer for eternal life. And as Christ continues in verse 19, he says, but to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. And what was the rich man's reply? He said, teacher. The man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Well, what exactly is he talking about there? The letter of the law. And a lot of us could say, well, yes, I've lived my life. I haven't broken the commandments. I haven't done any of these things. That's the letter of the law. And there are people I know today that that's how they feel, that, well, I don't break the Ten Commandments. What am I guilty of? I'm obeying the law. But there is a part of the law that they are not obeying. And then as we move on to verse 21, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Now we know and understand that Christ does not judge by outward appearance. He looks into the heart. There was something about this man that Christ saw, and it moved him. Compassion. There was something there. And then as Christ continued, he says, there is still one thing you have not done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. Christ was offering him a discipleship by that. Then come and follow me. There was something, there was a compassion, there was something that Christ was seeing in this man that he definitely took notice of. But there was a problem. In verse 22, it says, as this man's face fell, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now we're talking about a spirit of the law. You shall not covet. The thing that stood in this man's way is that he could not give up his wealth. He couldn't do it. So, by the letter of the law, he has not committed any kind of crime, has he? His family made the wealth, I'm sure. He didn't go out there and do it in the other means, but there's a point that's being made here. He couldn't give it up. Not even for a chance at discipleship. He couldn't do it. So therefore, he violated the spirit of the law. We have to kind of apply that to ourselves. We have to be honest. Not only with ourselves, but with God. And you look at, we live by God's law. Okay? We're not worried about the letter of the law. We keep that. But is there something in our life, something that works back there that is actually violating the spirit of the law? Because as we read in Romans 7:6, what did it say? We don't keep the law in the old way anymore. We keep it spiritually. So ask yourself that question when you go to examine yourself, like, do I have a problem with keeping the spirit of the law? You have to dig deep to find it. You have to be honest about it. Do I still find problems in my life with the spirit of law? Absolutely. And then some of those in my past I have, I'll be honest with you, kind of refused to face up to. Am I committing sin there? Absolutely. Because I know what I ought to do and then not do it. With that particular spiritual violation, I should be facing it. I should be addressing it. I should be repenting of it. I should be before God with it. That's my question to you. How far do you dig into your life on the spiritual side of the law? How far do you go? And then when you do find it, where is your honesty with God? Are you being honest with God? Because if you repent of it, you're forgiven. You're released from that sin. And yes, maybe you may be committed, you may commit the offense again. But by being honest and going back to God and repenting of it, you're doing the right thing. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. We're not worried about the letter. We're worried about the spiritual side of it. And I have another example here. And this applies both to men and women, not just men. As I read this, it says, you know the commandment which says, be faithful in marriage. But I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts. So I would put before you, where the letter of the law, it says, you shall not commit adultery. Are you guilty of it? No. But if you have created this in your mind, if you have already committed this adultery in your mind, then you are guilty of the law. Do you see what I'm saying here? You can play this two ways. No, I am not guilty of the letter of the law. And Christ would say to you, but there's one thing. It's your unfaithful thought. That's what would be looked at. That's what God sees. That's what Christ sees. That's what we need to be aware of. The spiritual application of God's law and how we handle it and how we live with it. If you're not doing it right, my suggestion is face it and repent of it. It's important that you do. Because God sees these things, we understand that, and so does Christ. And that's why he's telling us, you know, to be aware of this. Approach this in the way that you should, so you're right before God. Judge yourself in the way that you're supposed to, that you won't be judged. That's what is before us. Psalms 26:2. This is something that I really like. It says, put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. Because as you look at this, these three individuals are you. You're the witness. You're the prosecuting attorney. And you're the judge. So you're going to put yourself in this seat. And then you're going to start asking yourself some pretty hard questions, as a prosecuting attorney should do. And you have a judge there to make sure it's done fairly and in an honest manner. This is a request we should make to God. This is one where I go. Test my motives. Test my heart. Because that's where the problems are. It's not in the letter of the law. Because that's kept. It's the spirit of the law that's the problem. You got to go deep. And then in Galatians 6, verses 4 and 5, it says, pay careful attention to your work, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. No one else answers for your sins, do they? And God's not going to hold someone else responsible for what you've done. He's going to hold you responsible fully and completely. And that's why I say, pay careful attention to your own work and in the things that you do and how you live your life and how you present yourself before God. Because if you are not presenting yourself before God in an honest manner, you're not doing it right. And that's on you. And you will be held accountable for it. James 3:13, and this is my closing scripture, it says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, now only you can answer that question, can you? If you are wise and understanding God's way, what comes next? Prove it. Prove it by living an honorable life. Doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. It doesn't get clearer than that, does it? And my question would be to you, are you living an honorable life within the wisdom that God has given you? Because with that wisdom, He will hold you accountable for it. But if it's outside that wisdom, it's a different matter. So brethren, as we approach Passover, it says this very clearly in 1 Corinthians 11:28. This is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. When it comes to Passover, brethren, we have to come before God in this manner because He's telling us, look at your life. Look at the past year that you've lived your life. Are you backing up? Are you remaining the same? Or are you making progress in your life? Backing up is something you don't want to do, but if you're kind of, okay, no, I haven't backed up or I haven't gone forward, what does that kind of tell you? In my case, I would look at myself saying, well, I'm not putting enough effort into it. You know, my days are numbered. You know, I'm 73, and in the latter days of my life, I have to be careful of this because I should be making advances because God, in the 50 years of wisdom, He's given, yes, I see problems in my life, but how am I dealing with it? Am I doing something about it? Because God's going to look at that and say, Jeffrey, there's a matter here that you need to deal with, and I'm waiting, and I advise you to do it. So that's part of Passover, is as we look at ourselves, because of what Christ's sacrifice means. He gave His life for us. He took our sins upon Him so that we could be free. But He also brought in the new covenant with His blood, which is saying, we don't go by the letter of the law. We live by the spirit of the law. And that's where He wants us to be, because that is where the purity will be. It's not in the letter, it's in the spirit. So brethren, with the time we have left, there's time to do it. I think it would be wise to look within yourself honestly and honestly before God to see exactly where you are in your spiritual journey.